Welcome to this late week edition of the Money Media Players Podcast. I am not PTF. I am Spencer Lugemill, guest hosting once again as I do for these Triple Crown race weekends. Got a super fun card going up on the board today. We have Eric Solomon and myself going over the late pick four at Monmouth. Then Drew Cotney follows up as we go over the border into Woodbine to go over their late pick four. And last but not least, me and the degenerate weatherman himself, Marshall Sterling, talk a late pick four at Churchill Downs. All that, much, much more, coming up right now. We are so excited to be partnered with Hawthorne Racecourse for this 2024 season. Large field size, including great turf racing, is back in action this summer at Chicago's hometown track. With 12% takeout on win, place, and show wagers, Hawthorne has been quietly and consistently producing great cards with horse players starting to take notice. Be sure to check out Hawthorne this summer and take advantage of a great racing product at a great price. For more information, be sure to check out InTheMoneyPodcast.com/Hawthorne. It's the same old story in this cycle. We go back and forth. We go back and forth. It ain't good for me what we do this for. We go back and forth. Won't do this no more. All we want, always have to sell it. All we want, always have to sell it. Back and we want, always have to sell it. All we want, always have to sell it. All we want. And now I'd like to welcome in my first guest for this late week edition of the In the Money Media Players Podcast. Someone who, if I'm going down to the Jersey Shore, I got to have him on to talk Monmouth Park as much as possible. It's Eric Solomon. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great, Spencer. How you doing?
I'm very, very good. Glad to have you aboard. Monmouth Park, always one of the more fun meets of the summer. New track announcer, new races, just a fun beginning to the meet this year so far.
Yeah, it's and now that we're kind of outside of Memorial Day, it is summer at the Jersey Shore. So it's racing. They had a great weekend last weekend with Naira being dark. Two really nice 12 race cards on Saturday and Sunday. And even though they're going to be programming up against the Belmont Stakes this Saturday, real nice card this Saturday too.
Let's start breaking down. We're going to be doing the late pick four for y'all for this part of the simulcast show. We're going to start with race number 7 from Monmouth Park. It is a claiming 22 to 18,000. We're going 1 1/8 miles on the turf. Start us off here, Eric.
I landed on the 2, Anam, in this race. I like this horse a good bit. I thought his effort at Horseshoe Indianapolis last time out, it was a really strong race. He just was absolutely loaded in that spot. It was kind of, you know, you could just see it was pulling the rider into the race, was kind of riding up on heels. You know, once he kind of got into the clear, he switched out to the outside, left the rail open for a horse who ran a big race to be second that day, but he had plenty left in the stretch and was a clear winner that day. You know, now it's kind of a little questionable why we're coming out of the non-winners of one condition into an open claimer, especially 22 down to 18, so he's in for 22. I thought that was a little light, but just kind of looking a little bit deeper, the winner share of the purse at Indianapolis last time out was $20,400. And why that's significant is that at Monmouth, if you take home less than $20,000 in a non-winners of one condition, you're still eligible to run in that non-winners of one. So there's a race tomorrow that had he won $400 less for that race, he would have been eligible for. However, he's not. The non-winners of two consulty here might probably not that good. So I think this is probably the right spot for him. Makes a lot of sense here. I think he follows up that race for connections. Jonathan Thomas, two winners last week. Cheminot was on one of them. He's back today. I like him a good amount in here as my top pick. Also going to use the 4, Dominate the Moment, kind of a horse for course angle. Even though he only has one win and 5 starts here, he really runs pretty good races on this course. So I think coming back to Monmouth is going to help him. He hasn't been as quick from the gate. He was a winner at the non-winners of one condition on the Haskell undercard 2 years ago, where he just took it to the field from the start and was much the best. Haven't really seen that much early lick out of him lately, but I think, you know, from an inside post, so it's a long run out of the chute. This is the first 9-furlong turf race of the meet. I think he's going to be in a good spot and will be tough with this field. And then I'm going to back up on the B-line with number 8, Mailman Money with Paco. Well, I don't love that he's never hit the board in 5 turf starts, but he's been competitive against better fields. So he's kind of dropping into the lowest level that he's run on the turf. I thought his last race was pretty good, and he makes some sense here too. So on the A-line for me, number 2 and 4. On the B-line, we'll use number 8.
I feel like number 8's always such a tough runner in here, Mailman Money. Kelly Breen for me, if it's at Monmouth, I play him a lot at Saratoga too in these turf races. I think he's one of the better underrated turf trainers. Definitely want to use Mailman Money. Like you had said, this one's coming in off the dropping class, has numbers that fit in here as well. And if you look at the last three, the worst race was on the dirt. The other two were 76 and 82. They fit real well in here. Maybe not the best price in this one, but one that I'm willing to look at. So the number 8, Mailman Money, one of my 2 on the A-line. The other one I'm going to be using is going to be the number 2, Enam, one that I know you're very excited with, and breaking down all that stuff with the condition book, always important as always. But, you know, allowance races at Indiana, dropping in for 22 here, and like you had said, with the N2X level probably being a little bit too salty for that one, makes me like this one even more. So Enam for me will be my 2nd A. And the 1B I'm going to use is a little bit of a long shot here. I'm going to use Majestic Eagle, the 5. And for me, this one, I just feel dropping in class off of 32. Cantor Masi is, you know, 13% with a huge ROI of $3.92 on the turf. This one's had 42, pretty much 95% of this one's races have been on the turf. This one likes it here. Coming out of David Jacobson's barn. And I've noticed sometimes that when you train off Jacobson, it's either the horse can win or the horse will run dead last. This one being 10-1 off a dropping class. I just wonder if this one maybe will be one that can strike the winner's circle. So for me, I'm going to go 8-2 on the A-line, and my B will be number 5. Moving on to the next race, number 8 from Monmouth Park. It's a state bred optional, 15N1X, 6 furlongs on the dirt. Keep us going here, Eric.
I'm going to be pretty aggressive here, using just 1 on the A-line at a big number. I like the 6, Joe Boy's Jedi. I'm going to just toss his last race. Didn't show much at this level last time out. Did catch a sloppy course that day. It was his first start since July. Also first time he was facing winners, and he was roughed up pretty good at the break in that spot and just never really got into that race. When you go back and look at his maiden win, back in July last year as a 2-year-old with a state bred maiden special weight, right? It was a dominating performance. It was a little bit of a weird race, but it's a big effort. And that 55 buyer for a 2-year-old New Jersey bred, that's above average for the Jersey bred, you know, that time of year for the New Jersey bred maiden 2-year-olds. So I think that horse has definitely the ability. And I like that, you know, he didn't show anything on debut, but ran that big race 2nd time out. Chuck Spina's horses have been live all meet long. I think this horse has a big chance in this race. It should be a fast track today, on Saturday. Nick Juarez takes him out. He's my lone A at 20-1 in this race. I just think, you know, if he runs what I think he could run, that puts him right there with all these other ones at shorter numbers. I will back up on the B-line with both the 1 and the 2, Charlie's Express. The 1, maiden special weight winner, one of 3 horses coming out of maiden special weight wins, but he's the only one coming out of an open maiden special weight race. That was at Tampa last time out. It was a big effort, and he definitely had things his own way, gate to wire. Does draw the rail. It may not be the best place to be for a race like this, but I imagine, you know, Paco Lopez, he's going to send and see how far he can go. If he runs back to that last number, he's going to be tough with this. And then Dr. Doyle, I hate the price on this one at 5-2 here. I think my guess is that Paco Lopez's horse, Charlie's Express, is going to be the favorite when all is said and done. 5-2, I don't like the price, but I do think Dr. Doyle has a chance in here, 2nd off the layoff. Claudio Gonzalez, leading trainer from last year, started off the meet last year slow, and right around this time just started catching fire, you know, multiple wins. And you know, it's kind of his strategy, you know, it gets the horses with a race over the track. He's active in the claiming game. And then come June, he exploded last year. This horse kind of fits that profile. If he runs back to that race 2 back at Laurel, he's going to be tough here. So 6 on the A line for me, 1 and 2 on the B line.
I'm going to go with 2 in here. I'll talk real quick, Dr. Doyle, just your idea. I like to look back through horses' PPs as much as you should when you're handicapping. And if you look at the last time this one was first off off a layoff, ran an absolute terrible race, did the same thing last time. Should see some type of improvement, but I'm going to try and get a little bit of value here. Charlie's Express, I just think, like you had said, pretty much everything. Open state bred should be better. Open maiden special should be better than the state bred companions. And I think when you drop down into state breds, this one has the best figure, too, of all the maiden special weights. I love that about this one. And then I'm also going to use a Cassation for Anthony Margada. That would be the number 5. And I think if you look back a couple of races, Anthony Margada had this one as well. And was running really, really nice numbers here at Monmouth, 69, etc. Doesn't get the best jockey. This horse is 1 for 20. Obviously, we're in these type of weird spots here, but has never missed the board at this level or at this distance. And 4 for 8 to hit the board at Monmouth. I just think this one at 6 to 1 is a little bit sneaky there. So I'm going to go 1 and the 5 and move along. Let's move on to race number 9 from Monmouth Park. 5.5. We're in the allowance level on the turf. Keep us going here, Eric.
I'm going to be pretty formful in this race. I've been kind of trying to track some of the turf data here, the different rail positions, trying to keep a better eye on that at this meet this year. One of the things that just stands out right away to me is how you want to be forward in these 5.5 furlong sprints right now. That there's been 7 races at this distance so far at this meet. All winners have been less than 5 lengths off the leader at the first call, and 6 of those winners have been less than 2 lengths off the leader at the first call. So I'm definitely looking for horses that want to be forward in this race. And you know, honestly, I think that the 3 shorter prices make the most sense. I made Greek Heiress the 6 horse my top pick in this race. She's coming in on a 3 race win streak. All 3 races have been on the dirt, but she showed that she's capable on grass. She broke her maiden at 5 furlongs on the turf at Louisiana Downs last year. Lindsay Schultz has had live runner after live runner at this meet. And you know, she gets a decent price. I don't know if you're going to get that great of a price on this one, but I think this horse makes a ton of sense in here. Also going to use the 1 Lady Doro, 3-year-old filly making her first start of the year. Last seen finishing 2nd, beat 2 Amidst Waves in the Colleen Stakes last July. I thought that was a pretty good race, and I really liked her maiden win back at the beginning of July last year. It was kind of another one of those kind of funky races. There was a spill. She was able to kind of mostly avoid that. But once they turned for home, I thought her turn of foot, especially for a young 2-year-old and only her 2nd career start, I thought her turn of foot was really nice. And like I said, I think that Colleen effort backed up that form there. I like her at 5.5. Don't love the rail. I would think, looking at the shoot and watching his head on races, inside position would be better on than his 5.5 turf races. But has not been the case so far this meet, and the rail is only 1 win in 25 starts on the turf so far at the meet. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. And then I'm also going to use the 4 on the payroll. I was kind of leaning, should we go A or B line, but I think that last race was a little bit better than it looks on paper. They went really quick early in that race. You couldn't quite keep up, but when you look at this field, I think she's the one most likely going to be on the lead in this spot. She was on the rail that day. She's out a couple spots. I think she's going to get the trip, and I think she's going to be the horse they're going to have to catch in this race. So I'm going to put her on the A line as well. Just 1, 4, 6, all on the A line for me.
I think when you look at this race, and first of all, great job with the post positions and also just having an idea of what the track is doing on a specific surface. That matters so much. 1 for 25, that's good enough for me. If it's a short price, the longer the price gets, the more you have to be willing to sacrifice in case they do end up winning that 2 for 26 now. But 1 for 25 is a big enough sample. I think you can toss. I think a lot of times people, you know, oh, the sample has to be X amount of races. Well, once the sample's too big, then you kind of lose your edge of, you know, bring a perfect example. Yankees have won what, 8 straight now in baseball. If you got them at game number 3, you're looking pretty good if you're gambling sports. If you get on now, it's kind of just the bookies know, man, which way it's going to go. I'm going to stick with 2 in here, 2 that you're also using. I just think 4 and 6 here on the payroll. If Anthony Margada has a good late pick 4, I'm going to have a good late pick 4 at this rate. I just think looking through, has the allowance race and just is going a little bit backwards on buyer speed figures. But when I'm looking through and I see these figures – of, you know, in the claiming levels, 78, 67, you know, was off the board in the last at 4-1, which is kind of the same exact price, and the others were on synthetic. I just think looking back through, this horse has figures at the maiden at, you know, his allowance level, a 71. That probably gets it done in this type of field. And Greek Harris, Nick Juarez, Lindsey Schultz, nothing else much to say. This horse is in absolute rock-solid form, has good turf breeding. The last two races were at Louisiana Downs, though. I mean, the races weren't too fast, 66 to break the maiden. So, yes, this one looks good. The Tomlinson distance figure of 421 is pretty high, though, in this race. So I'm just going to stick with the 4 and the 6 and try to get through in here. Let's move on to race number 10 from Monmouth Park. It is a maiden 10,000 claimer, 1 mile on the dirt. Eric, how are we getting paid in this one?
Oof. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I struggle with this one, and because I'm struggling with what to do with the favorite, the Heights, in this race. I really did not like that last race at all. You know, I know you see the stumble and the trouble line, but really, you know, to me, you know, if you're grading that, you know, one being minimal and five being devastating, that was definitely, it would be a one for a stumble at the break for that horse that race. And I thought that horse was just the best horse in that field on the paper going into that, and just didn't run like it at all. And going back and watching the last few races, I just don't like the way this horse moves. I don't like, you know, I'm the first to admit, I don't know exactly what I'm looking for when I'm looking, but you know, it's kind of, and I think the Ted Lasso line about offside, it's like, you know it when you see it, and yeah. Just don't like what I'm seeing about the way this horse has been moving on the track. So the flip side of that is that this is a pretty steep drop to 10K maiden claimers, and all that might not matter in a race like this because there's not a ton of talent here. And this does have a pace advantage in this spot, could be on the lead, could be stalking it. So my inclination is to try and beat this one. But you know, come Saturday, if I, you know, circus, especially if I'm going to, you know, put a 20-1 shot where I'm going to in the eighth race and, you know, try and ride out, I might make sure I back up a little bit with the Heights. But for the most part, I'm going to try and beat him. The 10 is my top pick in this race. Assertive Attitude on the outside post. Don't love the outside post in a mile race here, but if, you know, Jairo Rendon can avoid, you know, kind of just getting a little bit closer to the rail than the parking lot, I think this horse has a chance. I like Phil Serpy's numbers stretching out from sprint to route. Has gone two turns on synthetic and turf. You figure, you know, the pedigree is there to get it on dirt. I think can improve off the last race. Also put the 9 horse Don Vino Vici in there. Don't love that this horse is claimed for $40,000 three starts back at Aqueduct, but is generally consistent. Rob Atrus already has a winner at this meet. And again, you know, for the horse that's going two turns on the dirt for the first time, looking at a Vino Rosso horse, you know, he probably should be able to run just as well. And then I'm going to back up on the B line with number 5, Lonely Ride. You know, it's kind of, this horse is kind of, you know, just taking a shot with, you know, many of these professional maidens, you kind of know what you're dealing with, and there's not a lot there. This one has never been on the dirt before, only one start. That was a pretty salty maiden special weight race mm-hmm. at Tampa that he's coming out of. So this is a steep drop in class to 10, you know, again, just one of those horses that could win this race by 10 lengths, could be 30 lengths behind at the wire, but you know, at 12-1 in a field where there's not a lot of talent, I'll kind of hedge my bets there. So 9-10 on the A line for me, 5 on the B line, and that 6 horse, you know, we'll see.
I kind of feel exactly how you do. Obviously, if you play Naira enough, it's always these maiden special weight 14 horse, you know, turf races. This one, you know, on the dirt this time, I feel like for me, I need a single in this race. I'm going to go with just one. Originally I had an idea for the Heights. And then I said, well, as I kept looking through, I said, Don Vina Vicky at 3-1 just makes much more sense. Has figures that are kind of closer together. We don't see those big drops like a 52 last time out. And this is something else where you say, like, you know, stumble break and everyone will, like, who doesn't watch replays will be like, oh, give this horse a pass. Well, he broke in the last time, too, and dueled. So this one does not get out of the gate well. And I always feel like when people say, oh, horse has a pace advantage. Well, if he's breaking in or stumbling and still getting the lead, if I stumble out of a shoot in a race or whatever I'm doing and I have to then rush up, I'm tired for the end. And I think that for the heights, this one is going to take a lot of extra money. I think maybe Don Vino at 3-1, maybe we get 3-1, 7-2. I just, for this one, I like that the separation of the races is a lot closer, 59, 61, 63, 64. We kind of know what this one is running right now in the form cycle with all the different races. They did try and get this one on the turf last time. It rained out. Now we go back to dirt. Maybe that's not the best thing to see from a trainer intent position, but for me, I'm going to stick with Don Vina Vicky as my single to end this late pick four. And before I let you go, Eric, I understand that we have a big race this weekend, obviously, the Belmont at Saratoga. Have you looked into it at all? And do you have any thoughts?
I have looked at it. Kind of boring in the sense that I think if Sierra Leone can run straight, I think he's going to win. It comes down to that. But if, you know, he's kind of up to his antics, we've seen a bunch of times. You know, it kind of does get a little more wide open. Gun to my head, that would be my pick right now. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to seen a little more out of the Wine Steward in the last race of the Peter Pan, because I've been a big fan of this one. And when you look at this horse, you know, six starts, three wins, and those, you know, three second place finishes, he's been right there. Maybe third, you know, I like the confidence that they're sending him here. You know, his lone race on this course was a big effort. So third off the layoff, maybe again, I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more last time in the Peter Pan, but, he would be kind of my sneaky horse in that race. So 9-4 is kind of where I'm leaning right now.
Very, very good with that. And this one other thing that I've listened, it's a host fail. PTF will understand. I forgot to mention, we're trying to do a Monmouth bet of the week idea. I don't know how much you've looked into either tomorrow's card or even if you've looked through the whole Saturday card. Do you have like a bet of the weekend that you can give us right now off the top of your head? Something that you just think that looks really, really good that we can give to the listeners?
Joe Boy's Jedi was the one that I really, just at 20-1. Mm-hmm. I think that horse is really interesting in the eighth race. Talk about the Lady's Secret just for a minute. I mean, sure. It's not a super exciting pick, cause you're going to have two horses, taking a bulk of the money. And you know, what kind of talked about this scenario, last week with, Mikey P over on his show. When, you know, you have two shorter prices, you know, are you able to kind of, you know, lean on one? And when we kind of had that situation with the feature race last week, and I think we're kind of in that same boat here. I do like the one Candied in this race for Todd Pletcher. Pletcher hasn't been doing great nationally, but he did have two winners at Monmouth last week. This was a grade one winner, won the Alcibiades, was right there. And I thought that third place finish in the British Cup Juvenile Fillies wasn't a great final time, but she did not have a great trip. And it was not easy to make up ground that weekend on that track. So I thought that was a better race than it looked. Didn't love her return in the Ashland, but she, you know, kind of didn't get away from the gate very well. It was last early. And you know, Keeneland, it was on the dirt. It was not easy to make up that kind of ground that during the entire meet. This to me looks like a race that's designed to set this horse up for the CCA Oaks next month. I would assume would be kind of the intent for this one right now. I think she's a lot better. I think she has a lot more upside, a lot better than the morning line favorite, Honor D Lady, who was the winner of the Royal Delta. So Candied is kind of where I'm going to single in that fifth race, which ends the early pick five.
Extra info there from my man, Eric Solomon. I'll just go over my last, my bet of the week, obviously, is covering the four races. I just think, again, in the finale, Don Vino Vicky will be a little bit added value on the board, because I feel like the heights will get bet down a lot more based off those last few, but hard to take a favorite having some gate problems. So Don Vina Vicky for me having a nice closer spread, and also coming out of those maiden 40s from Aqueduct, Belmont. You know, it's a bigger drop in class than I think a lot of people think. But with that, I do want to thank my special guest, Eric Solomon, for coming on, breaking down all things Monmouth Park. Eric, what do we have going on this weekend? Obviously, a lot of people are going to be at Saratoga, but I imagine we're going to have all of your write-ups for Monmouth Park over on In the Money.
Yep, we'll have the Monmouth Park write-up for Saturday. That'll be up on the blog tomorrow, probably before, probably in the afternoon tomorrow. And then we'll have the full card on Sunday as well. That'll be up at some point on Saturday. Unfortunately, I won't be up at Saratoga. I was really hoping that it was going to work out, especially since we don't have any ball games. So we're mm-hmm. but we have family in town, and you know, I was napping when the ticket lottery went back when it went on sale, and so we'll try and make it next year before it gets back to Belmont in 26. So
absolutely, thank you so much for coming on, my friend. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take it easy, Spencer.
Don't miss another amazing contest opportunity from ExpressBet with the Belmont Challenge on Saturday, June 8th. Your $1,500 entry gets you a $1,000 bankroll and $500 to the prize pool, with prizes including NHC seats, a BCBC seat, a Pegasus World Cup betting challenge seat, as well as cash prizes. Play online at ExpressBet or in person at Santa Anita Park. For more information and details on how to sign up, visit www.expressbet.com. And now we'd like to welcome in my next guest on this late week edition of the In the Money Media Players Podcast. Someone who, if I'm talking Woodbine, got to have him on. Haven't talked to him in a while, though. It's Drew Coatney. Drew, how are you?
I'm doing good. Things are great in Columbus. It's beautiful weather. Got golf on all weekend up here in Columbus. And we've got the Belmont Stakes, some Woodbine action. And probably going to be spending at the pool, watching some races next to the pool. So no complaints on my end. Life is good.
I will say, I don't think they could have asked for better weather for a 3-day, you know, stay up at Saratoga. It looks like we're going to be just excellent all the weekend through.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. A little different story than last season, right?
A little bit, right? Let's jump right in here. We're doing a late pick four here from Woodbine. We're going to start with race number 6. It's a 111,000 maiden special weight, 5 furlongs on the dirt. I guess I'll start us off. I looked through, and it's a tough race. Obviously, not a lot of stats to go off of. I just think that the one on the inside, Periwinkle, interests me a little bit. Tapiture, the sire fee was $7,500. They paid $29,000 for this one. So this is one of the few in this race that they actually paid more than the sire fee for. That last workout out of the gates, not terrible, 48-1. And I think when you look through, Kevin Adder, 25% with a $2 ROI. Plus ROI, first-time starters, does not well enough with the 2-year-old. I just think this one is going to be a single for me. 31% trainer-jockey combination as well. I just kind of want to get out of here with limited ideas. That way, for everyone else who will spread, I can try to create some plus EV here for later on.
Yeah, and to paint the picture, I mean, we're talking 2-year-olds. That's very early in the season, and have yet to see any of these 7 horses run. So I don't really have a pick, the 1 and the 4, the top of the market, but I love taking a look at the board. And if anything's getting hit pretty hard, bet that, single that. I mean, what's it going to hurt you in the pick 4 itself if you don't really have an opinion, but you want to have the action throughout the afternoon? Just take what the market is telling you. So especially if you see like the number 2, Mabula. I picked a terrible example here with this name, but 12-1 morning line, and it gets bet down to 8 or 7. Well, that's some market signal there. That might be a backup worthwhile. But if you see any of these start to take money, I think it's a pretty fair bet that folks know what's going on. So no opinion for me. I guess if you made me call out a couple numbers, it's the 1 and the 4 that look interesting. But I mean, this is a 20% confidence type of race.
Oh, I would say this as well. Let's just be happy that it's at the beginning, so at least you can see the odds board before you put your ticket in. If this was, you know, buried second or third leg, it would be kind of frustrating to try to figure out what's going to happen here. But let's move on to the next leg. Race number 7 from Woodbine. We're going on the inner turf. It's an optional N3X, 80,000, 5 furlongs on the turf. What do we got going on in this leg, Drew?
Yeah, I want the rematch of American Starlet and Lantana Lady. I'm going to side with American Starlet here. There's not a ton of speed in this race, and I think this one looks ready third off the layoff and runs consistently. Excuse me. So if American Starlet can get a little bit loose, nothing crazy. I think this one becomes a fairly easy ride. The Lantana Lady, yeah, five for nine, and it ran a really good one last out, so it's coming second off the layoff. I just think if there's not a lot of speed, this one's going to have a lot to do late and maybe able to sneak one out with the number five American Starlet. And then I also want to mention the number one Canadian Sweetheart gets back on the right surface today and runs some really good ones at higher levels, specifically near the tail end of the Woodbine season last year. So I think that one could surprise us here at a bigger price. I think 8-1 and north is where this one will go on the tote board. So pretty much two horses for me, the five and a little bit of backup on the one.
I think for me in this race, I kind of had the same idea of those top three finishers from that race. I'm actually going to fade American Starlet. This one obviously, you know, has better numbers than what I think my top choice will be, but I kind of like Sacred Dancer in the spot. In that last race, 27-1, obviously outran her odds. And I just feel like if this one can improve again and get into the Lantana Lady and American Starlet numbers, and this one will still be, you know, that 8-1, 10-1 price, we might be able to see an upset here. But I'm also going to go with Lantana Lady as my second on the A-line, 85 last time out. This one just fits the bill, was also 11-1, 2-for-3 at the Woodbine Turf course, 2-for-3 at this distance. One that, not heavy enough to single, but I want to add a couple more in there. I'm going to add 1B in as well for Verdejo on the outside, in for 80,000 for Abraham Catan. This one's in the most form. This one has its turf race way back. The buyer's not good enough at 73, but I just thought this one was in such razor sharp form. I want to use as a B at a double digit price. So for me, I'm going to go 3-4 on the A line and 7 on the B line.
Yeah, just to give a quick explanation on the fade on the four by me, we're completely opposite here. I thought just the trip was too easy.
Yeah.
I mean, saved all the ground, was with the pace flow for the most part, and has never ran anything like that before. So I'm willing to bet that this horse won't run back to that 85. So just wanted to give a little explanation on why I'm fading, who likely will be co-favorite, maybe favorite. I think the morning line is pretty right here.
Have a little head-to-head here with Drew in leg number two. Let's move on to leg number three. That is race number eight. It's a State Bred Fury Stakes, 7 furlongs on the dirt. Drew, tell me how we're going to go into this one.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of an idea with the number one Sounds Practical at 8-1. Speed horse cutting back off the layoff and could get loose and be on the lead, and ran a good one two back, then tried stretching out without success. And there's a sharp workout tab. So, I mean, in what seems to be up in the race in the Fury Stakes, I like the number one Sounds Practical here coming off a bit of a layoff. The other one I'll use is Olivia's Rose. I think this horse is going to take a lot of money, the number three at 3-1. Was a heavy favorite off the layoff and didn't really fire going 6 furlongs last out. And I think you hope everything regresses back to that October 28th race where ran a pretty significant buyer than the rest of this bunch at 88 and earning a 102 time form. And I think what's notable is, yeah, the slow fractions tended the slow pace, but that means that this horse ran, stopped the final clock with an 88 buyer, meaning I wonder how much farther or faster this one can go. Not a ton of excuses for that last out, so that's a little bit head scratcher, but I think we'll get 2-1 easily on number three, Olivia's Rose, but I think is going to be the favorite. So just two horses for me, the one and the three. I'm calling both A's.
You got it. I'm in the same camp you are. Sounds Practical for me, the top pick. I love horses that run well at 7 furlongs. I think people just don't understand. They're like, oh, they ran well at 6.5. They should be fine at 7. That last, you know, half spot there, it's just so difficult for horses to just get to. So the fact this one has a W and was not off of a fast-paced race as well, now we get a bit of a cutback. You said the workout tab is great. I agree with everything there for you. Sounds Practical also my top pick. I was hemming and hawing on the three, Olivia Rose. You're gonna make me put her on the B line, just one that I think overall I wanted to try to beat. Let me include Red Samurai on my A line though. 13-1 last time out, did get the W in the maiden special weight. I just feel like when you look through the rest of these horses, if a horse like Sounds Practical does not come back well off the layoff, or, you know, Olivia Rose, who has been favored multiple times and lost by multiple lengths the last couple times out, I think Red Samurai, just at an interesting price, that one being 12-1, you might be able to see some fireworks here in this third leg, and then hopefully we can get a nice, decent ticket going into the fourth and final leg, which let's jump over into that. It's race number 9 from Woodbine, 5 furlongs on the turf, optional 32 and 1x. Drew, how are we getting paid?
Yeah, I'm going to spread a smidge. I'm going to start with some longer shots. The number 9, Chrome Plated Heart at 12-1. The comeback was huge, winning at 8-1, and the pace setup is nice for this one here in this spot with a lot of speed on the front end. So I think it's in the thick of it on the buyers, and at 12-1, I think I'm willing to take a little bit of a risk. Also, the number 8, Hello Friends at 20-1, way too much pace with a bunch of horses that didn't like to close in this race here. So when I typically see that of a bunch of horses that don't like to really finish, don't like to really stay on the lead, I'm looking for longer prices. And
yeah.
I don't think it's impossible that this one sits off, they turn for home, this one's far back, then all of a sudden this horse decides to start running and get up for a piece of it, if not the whole thing. And I think you'll see all of 20-1. And then also the number 2, Graviat, at 5-1. First time Lasix gets back on the right surface. Should be the controlling speed here, I think. And already has had one race, although didn't really finish, 26 legs back. So I think was more or less pulled up in the stretch. But over at Keeneland comes here back to Woodbine today for the first time. And should be a square price at 5-1. So 3 horses for me, the 9, the 8, and the 2. What looks to be a really tough finish to this sequence.
I'm also 3 deep. I'll include one of yours. It's my 2nd pick, so let me go over my 1st one. I just think super flashy from the far outside. Kimura's aboard for Kevin Attard. When I look through this one, decent 3rd last time out with the 69. Now comes off a long layoff. But hey, Kevin Attard, 22% off layoffs like this. And this one, you know, only has the 1 turf try. But I just want something a little bit different in this race, and when looking through the odds board and stuff like that, you're 4-1. If this horse pays $10, I'm okay with that. I am also going to use your Chrome Plated Heart horse for pretty much all the exact reasons you said. This one got claimed 2 back, now comes in 2nd off the claim for Deborah Rhombus, who, you know, looking through a lot of these horses, yes, she's 0 for 13 on turf races, but when you look through that 69 last time out, fits well with a lot of these other horses in this race. Yes, it was on synthetic. I think this one has the good type of opening race off the layoff that this one can improve a 2nd time out as well. And I'm also going to go with the number 3, Karakara, coming off that optional 32 with the same type of figure, 69. I think if you can run that high 60 to low 70 buyer in here, you should automatically be considered a contender. So I'm just going to use those 3 that I think are pretty evenly matched, the 11, the 9, and the 3, to finish out this late pick 4 at Woodbine. But before we let Drew go, Drew, any thoughts on the big race this weekend? It is the Belmont Stakes over at Saratoga. Any thoughts on the big one?
I think it's a great one. And if you remember last year, I was in the Belmont contest over on ExpressBet. Yes. Gave out on TQ, Tom Quigley, his show out at Santa Anita, gave out Arcangelo, and then didn't bet in the final race. I just thought the prize structure didn't set up to risk everything. And also had my dad out there with me for the first time. So it was fun to watch him see me collect 30 grand. So I'm not always crazy to risk everything all at once. This is such a fun, tough race. Like, you want to bet Mind Frame. I mean, you really do. You want to say, hey, this horse can step forward, but I just think there's a little bit too much speed elsewhere in here that's not going to set up well. So I'm going back to the old well with Sierra Leone.
Yeah.
I just think it sets up perfect for this horse and is going to be the one running late. And, you know, coming out of the Derby, ran a great one. We all know that whole story. So give me Sierra Leone. 9-5 feels like a square price for a horse that's going to get the perfect setup. And I think if can't get the job done today, they're going to have their, have to go back to the drawing board and scratch their heads of what do we do with this horse? Because purely talented, and they paid $2.3 million. They're almost at break even at 1.9, and maybe this horse is just a minor placing type, and they chase the grade ones. But I think they want to get the W pretty bad here.
I always feel like when you look through the Derby trail, and everyone, you know, oh, I always say they over handicap the Derby because we talk about it for 6 months. But I always feel like once the Derby's done, the Preakness and especially the Belmont are two of my more favorite races on the year, just because there's that extra added, you know. Horses are overbet coming out of the Derby, underbet coming out of the Derby, and I just feel like this race, I'm with you there. Sierra Leone, for me, I think it's just the one. And it's what you said, the price. It all comes down to price, as we know in this game. And 9-5, I think, for a horse like that, that should have probably, you know, not, I'm not even going to say race better in the Derby, but, you know, with the whole placing and all that. I think this one is a little bit better even than people think it is. I know some people took some pretty bad beats with that horse, but I like the price there at 9-5. I think if you lost on this one at whatever he was, 3-1, 4-1 in the Derby, it's you can get some money back here at 9-5.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with that, I do want to thank my special guest, Drew Cotney, for coming on, talking all things Woodbine with myself. Drew, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll talk soon, I hope.
All right, yep, sounds good. Have a good weekend.
There's another amazing contest opportunity from ExpressBet with the Santa Anita Closing Day Challenge on Sunday, June 16th. Your $1,500 entry gets you a $1,000 bankroll and $500 to the prize pool, with prizes including NHC seats, a BCBCC, a Pegasus World Cup betting challenge seat, as well as cash prizes. Play online at ExpressBet or in person at Santa Anita Park. For more information and details on how to sign up, visit www.expressbet.com. And now I'd like to welcome in my last guest on this late week edition of the In the Money Players podcast, someone who I decided to have do Churchill with me this week. He is one of my better friends in the horse racing community. It's Marshall Sterling. Marshall, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm surprised you didn't say the most hated person on horse racing Twitter, but I feel like I'm vying favoritism with Andy Serling at this point.
Is that for the weather reports, or is there something else you got to tell us?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, it's going to rain. No. Hey, it's going to rain. No. Hey, it's going to rain. No. Like, sorry.
I'm not trying to set you up with that. I mean, listen, it's gonna
rain every day this weekend at Saratoga. I'm sorry, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Sunday off the turf. You prepare for it. You heard it here first. Next.
I mean, I will be honest though. It could not be sunnier outside of my house right now in Kingston, which is about an hour and a half south of Saratoga.
Yep. But I mean, as we are recording this right now, it's raining there currently. So okay. There you go.
Fair enough. All right, let's get started here. We're doing the late pick four for Churchill. We're gonna start with race number 8. It's 20,000 claimer, 1 mile on the dirt. Marshall, start us off here.
Man, this sequence is rough and tumble.
Yes, it is.
In race 8, I spread pretty hard. My top pick in here is the number 11, Late Night Lizzie. Second off the bench for Donald Habib. I'm not sure who that is. But first time out in the N2L, stalked the pace, which was an honest pace, and was able to close and really draw away. And I think second off, this horse is going to be a little tighter, a little better. I don't know how this trainer trains, because he's really just an unknown person here. Given the fact that they didn't come back with a workout in between, I'm thinking this horse ate up well and is trying to kick down the stalls after that. For me, the 11 is an A. And then the other A that I have in this is the 8, Jackie's Love, at 10-1. James Butcher, Gerardo Corrales riding, was too far back from a really slow pace in the optional claiming 16. Comes back off that race at Belterra, I think is going to get a lot of pace to work with, and a slight upgrade from Victor LeBron as a jockey. So those are my two A's. Otherwise, I'm not going to play any B's, and on the C line, I'll have the 10, 2, and 7.
10, 2, and 7 on the C line. I got your two A's in my sequence. I'm going to add one more in there, and it's going to be the top pick for me. Number 10, Alamo. For Dwayne Lucas, listen, if I bet Dwayne Lucas horses, they will never win. When I bet against him, they do win. So keep that in mind when you're making your tickets. I just thought the races 2 and 3 back were super, super solid there. 66 in the claiming N2L. Then goes into
what happened in that starter?
I'm just going to say that the class was a little bit too tough, and I'm willing to give that one up. Had an okay workout, 44-4, and then had a workout in the mud. I just think if he runs back to the race last time out, dead in the water. If he races back to those 2 and 3 back races, I think we have a decent shot. Those claiming 30 N2Ls end up looking like more like 15 open, which is kind of what this one ends up being on the price tag. Alamo, for me, will be my top pick in here, trying to get a little bit of value. Late Night Lizzie, the other one, everything you said. Second off the left, that first race was absolutely fine. What I do like about this horse is that this one is 2 for 2 at the distance and 2 for 3 at Churchill Downs. So, and you know, for an unknown trainer, 3 for 9, 33%. If you're 33% most of the year, you end up being one of the top trainers. So maybe just a barn with a little bit less horses in there so they can only run so many times. I will go with Late Night Lizzie. And my last A will be Jackie's Love as well at 10-1. Listen, 63 last time out, slow speed figure or pace figures with blue fractions. That's always scary to look at. But I just think when you look through the rest of this field at 10-1, you can't let this horse beat you and pay $20. So for me, I'm going to go with the 10, 11, and the 8 as A's. Let's move on to the next leg, which is race number 9 from Churchill. We're going 7 furlongs. It's an optional 80 N2X. And let me tell you, this is one of those races where it's just nice to see so many different horses that have all good figures, etc. Give me the number 5, Mulliken, off that N1X race, 98 buyer, Flavian Pratt aboard. Listen, we're getting a bit of a jockey downgrade, but Brissett's off to a 4 for 9, 44% start at this meet. Always like to see that. I'm also going to include one more on the A line, that being the number 1, Arrow Smash, Corrales, and Philip Bauer. Just been in absolute excellent form. Comes in first off of that long layoff and runs a solid, solid second at 6-1. I think this one fits on that. And my 1B will be Page 1, the number 2. Great workouts. Ran a not below average, but an 88. Fits right in with that buyer par level to win this type of level. And at 12-1 with excellent workouts, I feel like this one, as you said in the last race, kicking down the stalls. Cannot wait to get out there and run again. So Page 1 for me will be my B, and 5 and 1 are A's. Marshall, you have a bit of a shorter idea in this race.
Yeah, I have a single, and I singled your A, Mulliken. You know, looking at the horses coming out of this race, the last place finisher came back and won next out. And then Chance and Tivy, who were second and third, both came back in starter allowances and increased their buyer figure and finished second and third. So, you know, with Tivy finishing second yesterday, June 6th. So, you know, I think that Mulliken is going to be a pretty, the most likely winner, in this sequence. And so for me, a blast out of the gate, with Alex Achard and just go, never look back. So for me, single, the 5 Mulliken. If you really wanted to back it up, I agree, Arrow Smash is the next likely. I don't need anyone but Mulliken, honestly.
Moving on to race number 10. We're going 5 furlongs on the turf. It's the Mighty Bow Stakes. And for me, I always like seeing these type of races because people don't understand. There's not many listed or graded stakes for turf sprinters, so a lot of those times those listed stakes matter a lot more. I am deciding to go 3 deep in this leg. Give me the number 9, Nothing Better, as my top pick. Just looking back again, it's some more Aqueduct form in here. Joseph Duarte, very, very solid. 20% with a positive ROI in turf sprints. This is one that I think when you look at 5 for 13 at this distance, coming in from, you know, a quote-unquote maybe a little bit tougher sequence or tougher circuit with the turf sprinters. Give me the 9 on top. Also going to use the number 6, Kaufmaker. Coming out of the Woodford at 5.5 last year. Now we're coming in off a long layoff. But listen, if there's one trainer I want, it's probably Wesley Ward, who, you know, usually it's with him or even when, like with Linda Rice, where they end up scratching the horse they run. The fact this one's also cross-entered for Saratoga gives me more positive things to say. That will be my second choice. And last but not least, Panther Island, Leperu with Laura Cazares. Another one that's just in great form. The Shakertown last time out just didn't go exactly according to plan. 13-1 on the line in that one. Willing to give this one a better shot since they have this one at 4-1 on the line. I think this is a less overmatched spot in this race for Panther Island. So 9, 6, and 2 for me. Marshall, what are we doing in this third leg?
Yeah, this these listed stakes races that are sprints are really tough, and you do see a lot of graded stakes caliber horses in because, to your point, there just aren't graded stakes, especially at 5 furlongs. I know you mentioned Coffee Maker. I believe Coffee Maker is running at Saratoga in the Intercontinental in the Grade 2. Otherwise, Coffee Maker would be a huge play here as well. But for me, my top pick is going to be the number 8. Yes, I Am Free Laura Cazares with Raylu Gutierrez. You know, this horse has battled against some pretty extensive, like really good sprint company. You know, you're looking at Panther Island, Arzak, who's going to be one of the favorites on Belmont Saturday. You know, XY Speed. So I really do like this horse a lot. And Yes, I Am Free has really gone neck and neck as far as a speed horse is concerned with some really, really fast horses. So for me, I don't think there's as much speed in this race as previous. So I really do think Yes, I Am Free is going to be loose as a goose. I think is gone. Mm-hmm. And especially given that this race is 5 furlongs, I want speed of the speed. I just do. Yeah. So for me, my top pick is Yes, I Am Free. But to be fair, I mean, I have to use quite a few in here. For me, the other A that I have is definitely going to be the 9, Nothing Better. Everything that you said was dead on with the Jorge Duarte trained horse, and I just think is going to be, you know, coming into this race really, really good. You know, draw a line through the elusive quality, and this horse has some really, really good races to back up on. You know, the only concern there is going to be the distance. I'm not super sold that this horse is a 5 furlong runner, but you know, we'll see how that goes. And obviously Nothing Better is going to sit right behind my top pick. So, as you can tell, the theme of this race is going to be speed. I have no idea what they're doing with Rivet and or why this horse is even in this race. I don't see the pedigree. I don't see literally anything to do with this horse as to why it's in this race. So I'm a fade Rivet in a big way. Even though, you know, right, look at that last race, the optional claiming 100, they were trying to get Rivet on the turf there too. Mm-hmm. I'm just not really sure what to do there, but my guess is that horse is going to take a bunch of money. I'll have 2 Bs, which will be the number 1 and the number 2. So Mostache, Panther Island, both of these horses are class plays. I don't think they're going to get the right trip, you know, given that Panther Island's going to sit back and Mostache is probably going to sit, you know, third or fourth and is probably going to get first run at my top 2 picks. But, I think those two horses are really good there as well. So for me, my A's are 8 and 9, and then my B's are 1 and 2.
8 and 9, and then 1 and 2 for the B line for Marshall. Let's move on to the last leg of this pick for race number 11, maiden special weight, 6 furlongs on the dirt. I'm going to single. It's kind of an ugly single. This one did not get the best break last time out. I'm hoping that's more of just a, you know, not that this one has problems getting out of the gate, but just, you know, ended up with a little bit of trouble there, and that's LNJ. Even money, 70 was the opening buyer. If they improve the 8 to 10 points like they normally do second time out, this one will crush everyone else in this field. I'm only going to use one other on the B line. That's from scratch. Grant Forster, not the best with first time outers, but I just think when you see those little 47-3, 48-3, this one has the best works of the first time starters, and this is just a spot where I just want to use one extra just on the off chance, but that will be a B. So just a single A. It's from the rail. Hopefully that one gets out and can get the job done, and I can cash a fairly nice ticket here. What about you, Marshall?
Yeah, I mean, LNJ was bet really hard on debut and made a big run. Probably wants a little more ground. But, you know, that start really bothered me. It says that jostle between and pinch start. I thought LNJ kind of made a lot of its own doing. Mm-hmm. Obviously not helped by the horse coming across it either, but I really was not sold that trouble was just, horses around it causing the issue. Yep. So for me, I am honestly spreading, and my top pick in here, call me crazy, is going to be the number 9 American Fairy Tale. Okay. This Ian Wilkes trained horse, first off the layoff, so first time in 2024, you know, I thought broke nicely, sat mid pack, and made a little bit of a move towards the end. You know, Barbara T in Satin Blue have came back subsequently and have ran well. And I think that, you know, Ian Wilkes second off the layoff, especially as a 4-year-old now, I think this horse has every right to improve quite a bit in a race that I'm really not sold a whole lot. And I actually think that if this horse breaks to that last workout, I think this horse goes the lead, honestly. And I think that's going to be a really hard thing in a field of horses that just feels just less than stellar. I want the horse that's going to be on the lead, honestly. And so for me, my top pick is the number 9, American Fairy Tale. I have to use LNJ, but it's only going to be defensively. And even that, to be brutally honest, just saying it out loud sounds like a stupid idea because this horse is going to be so insanely short. So, I mean, honestly, I would recommend if you have any reservations about LNJ winning this, either single or toss, period, end of story. Yes. So for me, the other horses that I would like to use is going to be the number 7, Where's the Wine, for Wayne Catalano. Again, I think this horse, first time out at Turfway on the Poly, probably not a Poly horse. Has subsequently come back with some really nice gate with a really nice gate drill on May 21st, and then some really nice workouts along the way as well. And I think this is another horse that I think could show some speed, and especially given Morales on board, I'm sure that Wayne is going to say just go with it. Yeah. So I definitely need that horse, and then also. I agree with the number 6 From Scratch, the Grant Forrester trained Corey Lannery horse. Some really nice workouts. Pedigree suggests first time out shouldn't be an issue. And Flameway, honestly, as a sire, has been pretty good so far. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, I didn't like Flameway as a runner, and I was not sold that Flameway was going to be even worth a darn as a sire, but. Definitely has surprised me gigantically, and glad they gave Flameway a chance. So for me, I would just spread in this race, and those horses will be on my A's. We'll use LNJ as a C, but for me, I'm more than happy to toss LNJ and lose than anything else.
So I just want to go back over LNJ as a possible C, and then we have 9, 7, and 6 as your A's.
That is correct. Yep.
All righty. And with that, I do want to thank my special guest, Marshall Stern, for coming on, taking time out of his day to talk Churchill Downs. One last thing before I do let you go, though, any quick thoughts on the Belmont? I know I kind of didn't prep you for it, but I would imagine you've been looking at that race quite a lot during the week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like everyone else, I'm going to have some pretty unoriginal opinions. I think that, Sierra Leone is going to be a single on most of my tickets. I think Resilience Underneath is going to be an exacta that I'm going to play quite a bit. I think that Derby pace, and with that horse making an insane middle move into a even insaner pace, is definitely a good underneath type. Otherwise, I'm also going to be severely unoriginal and say that Charlie Appleby is going to win a fair share of turf races today and tomorrow, so Friday and Saturday. So, I'll key around those horses in the turf races. So, that's, again, not very original, but that's where a lot of my play is going to go. And, good luck to everyone that's playing tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on, my friend. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to thank everyone who listens to this podcast and the rest of the podcast on the Money Media Network. Also want to thank my special guest, Eric Solomon, Drew Coatney, and Marshall Sterling. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's president is Peter Thomas Fornatale. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Ginchin. And our In the Money Media business manager is Drew Coatney. I'm Spencer Lugenbuehl. May you win all your photos.